Okay.
All right.
We're here. We live. Hello, good peoples.
What's happening, everybody?
How you doing? Welcome to week 3, episode 3 of Rolling with the Kicks. So good to have you guys in here again. I see we've all, survived. We survived Valentine's Day, guys.
Yeah.
We got through it.
Yeah, man.
Some of you have been having panic attacks about this since the beginning of the month, but you got through it. Now look at you. Look at you.
You survived. You have made it.
Some of you, your relationships got stronger. Some of you realized your relationships weren't the relationships you thought they were.
Exactly.
Some of you achieved your crushes. Some of you may not have. It's okay, your crush will know your name in a couple of months or next year.
You achieved other people's crushes, but you know what? We ain't going to get into that.
We won't get into that. Yeah, Not now.
That's okay.
But what matters is we survived Valentine's Day. How was yours?
My Valentine's Day was, it was all right, I guess. I was single. Yeah, I just chilled at home. I didn't do much. I mean, watch some crime documentaries, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah, shows about men killing women and stuff. Serial killers and interrogations on sociopaths.
That really brings out the love in Valentine's.
There's nothing that says I love you like if
being
you can't
murdered
have,
by the man you thought
yeah
you.
If I can't have you, no one else will.
Doesn't it any deeper than that?
Yeah, no.
My Valentine's Day was pretty chilled.
Yeah?
It's pretty good.
Yeah, cool. I was home too.
Really? Yeah. I was home.
Homebody.
Cooked up some dinner, you know, some din-din.
Some din-din. Oh my god. I cannot hear the word din-din and not think of that movie. What was that movie? The one, the strange thing about the Johnsons? Do you remember that show? Do you remember that movie?
Shout out to your sister. Shout out to Amanda.
Amanda Wangai Shoko. Thank you so much. She made us watch that.
If you feel like being seriously... Actually, no, we're not even going to recommend it.
We're not.
Just, you know what?
That boy ran his daddy's cheeks, bro. I'm sorry. He ran them cheeks. And the mom knew. She knew, guys. That's the thing about this movie.
You just gave the biggest spoiler.
I'm so sorry.
Hey,
They're not gonna watch it.
All right.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to say that?
Ran cheeks.
Ran his dad's cheeks.
Bro, but it happened in the movie. It happened. I'm giving them a synopsis, if anything. This is like intellectual conversation.
Uh-huh.
You want a scintillating conversation? Well, here you go. Happy Kwanzaa. Got so quiet. Don't let me ramble. Don't let me ramble for too long. Because the things that come out of my mouth.
That was,
Anyway.
Sorry. Okay, no. We have been accused of laughing too much.
Yeah.
On our podcast.
Can I just say I respect Kwanzaa as a holiday? I meant that in no way as an insult. I meant no harm by that. I just thought of a joke and I said it without thinking about it. Yeah. Apologies to anyone who might be offended. I love you all. Yeah. Okay. We can move on now? Yeah. Before Twitter comes after me.
Okay. Like I said, you know, my Valentine's Day was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. Mm. So, yeah. That's what I can say about it. Need some din-din, you know. Just chilled, you know. I was just there, you know.
That's great. Just there. We'll leave it at that. I like that.
Right?
That's a very beautiful, subtle statement.
Are you trying to feed the people things that
ain't there? No, I ain't feeding nobody nothing. I'm just saying it was very well put, well said. I like that.
Thank you.
And you're welcome.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Another week. Sorry, I can't get over the last 2 minutes. This podcast, I mean, last week we were literally talking about how we are not swearing,
but I didn't swear. I'm not gonna say it again because clearly it's a problematic statement, but I'll say what I said. I won't repeat it. Okay, I'm sorry. I mean,
the killer thing is I'm sorry, guys. We messed up. Yeah. We just ran out of our laughing quarter. We said we're going to laugh at the beginning, we're going to laugh in the middle, and we're going to laugh at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, this is 5 minutes of laughing.
But, yeah. But like we said, this podcast is a podcast with the talks and the laughs. We talk and we laugh. Yeah, so, you know.
That's a conversation.
The point is that we're having fun. The point, exactly. So, yeah.
We're talking to
and we hope you laughed with us.
Yeah.
We hope you laughed with us. We really appreciated the feedback we've been getting.
Let's move on.
Oh, we really appreciated the feedback.
Yeah, thank you so much. You guys are amazing. Thank you for the support.
Guys, we gotta pause for a second because I need to get this out of my system. Hey guys, we're back.
Yeah,
got that out of our system. Like I said, we really appreciate the feedback that we've been getting from you guys about the podcast.
For sure.
And we're just grateful for the growth. We are on Spotify now.
Yes.
In case you didn't know, we're on Spotify. We're on iTunes.
Oh, nice.
As well.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. No, things are going pretty well right now.
Things are going great right now. Yeah.
You know what? This episode, just know that this is clearly about to be a hell of an episode because we're on one.
Yeah.
We're not on anything but ourselves.
I mean, of course.
So, yeah.
We're on some water, though.
On some water. We're
on
some
water. That H2O.
Have you guys hydrated today? As you listen to this podcast, I want you to ask yourself, have you had water today?
Mm-hmm.
Because at least 2 liters, guys. It's serious.
Yeah.
Your kidneys need the water.
Oh, yeah.
Your urine should not be the same color as the sun.
No, man. No.
Or the sunset, rather.
Like, you all need to be careful.
Exactly. It's important. Exactly. So, yeah. Back to the main of the main. Thank you guys for your feedback. We're really grateful. Just getting this into motion every week is just a blessing. Mm-hmm. Knowing that we can just, you know, provide you guys with some hella crazy. Honestly, every time we come to record, we're like, what are we in for today? I wasn't in for what we've been through.
You know, even I come up to this, you know, to episodes, and I'm like, I wonder what we're going to talk about today.
And then
things happen.
Then here we are.
Here we are indeed.
So just want to share some fun facts with you. Fun fact number one.
Okay.
Probably the only fun fact is... Did you know that our background beats are homegrown, homemade, home mixed, home produced, organic?
Wow.
As in, we made them ourselves. We didn't make them ourselves. Anita made them ourselves. Herself.
Myself.
Yeah, Anita's the one who provides us with our beats, with the intro music, with everything. Mm-hmm. She's a producer. She's an artist. Oh. And she's amazing. She had a listening party a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And she brought the house. She brought the house down.
Thank you.
The house down.
It was amazing. It was pretty fun. It was like my first listening party, like my first experience on stage.
Sold out. The whole place was full. People had to keep. I promise you, this isn't even me just hyping her up. Facts. She brought the house down.
Oh man, thank you so much.
So yeah, Jess. If you guys want to listen to some of her music, we're dropping a link.
Yeah.
In today's description thing. Yeah. I don't know how it works on the other apps. I know on Podbean, you can access the link in the description.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
But on Spotify, iTunes, any other platform, not too sure. But anyway, we'll also put it on our Instagrams. Just check Nita again. Instagram at the_soulprobe.
No,
is it the soul?
Yeah. It's
is it the soul?
It's the _soulprobe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Underscores in the middle. They confuse me a little bit.
But either way, you can still type the soul probe. You'll still find me with or without the underscore.
Or Nita.
Yeah, or Nita.
Nita Shoko.
Yeah.
That's just what we doing now. We're plugging the peoples because that's what this is all about. You know, we may be starting this as just us, but eventually the dream is to be able to like put some people on.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
know. What about the creators? What about two creators just making it in life?
Yeah.
Trying to make it in life.
Amen. Trying to is actually doing
it. For y'all
think
we have money that we do not have yet.
Yeah, but like, you know, trying is actually doing.
Yeah, trying is doing.
Yeah.
So yeah, for us, this is like a passion project. It's like, in the sense of we just came here to create.
Exactly.
Because one thing with like, you know, especially in creative culture, it's like everyone tries to make you feel like your work must have meaning. It must have purpose. It must do... When sometimes, you know, sometimes you just want to create because you want to create.
Yeah.
And it's been very freeing. We were like, we just come here and we just do.
Just release, man.
Without wondering who's going to listen what. It's just like, man.
Either way, it's reaching someone.
Exactly. We're enjoying the ride. And if anyone, like, you know, gets a bit of laughter, gets like some enlightenment or whatever from this, then yeah. It's like, it's a blessing.
And that's good that we've done our part, I guess, for the time that we've had this. And like, another thing, like, you know, shout out to YouTube, because, you know, she's describing all these things, like, you guys, you can find us in this description. And I'm like, oh, really? Very nice. Because she's like the brains behind, like, you know, how things are being distributed and stuff. To be honest, she's doing a lot of work here. So yeah, Chipo, you're also very much appreciated and recognized and seen.
Thank you so much.
For your great work.
Wow.
Yeah, the what's it called? Teamwork makes the dream work.
Teamwork makes the dream work. Yeah, man. We wouldn't be here running with the kicks. Wouldn't be running with the kicks if we weren't here. Imagine if it was just one of us. We'll be rolling with the kick.
With the kick. And that's like so sad.
Ain't nothing sexy about rolling with the kick.
How you gonna roll with the kick?
Where's your phone?
My phone is behind me. Okay, here it is.
Sorry about that. We just get paranoid, like, in case there's something on the desk or something, and then recording just goes to the pots. So, yeah, you guys are in on our lives. You're in on our lives.
Sure.
So, basically, yeah. So, now we're going to jump into today's topic.
Oh, nice.
As you can see, topic doesn't sound as sexy as Valentine's Day is coming.
Oh, yeah.
Where's your... No, today, you know, we're getting a little bit serious. Oh, we're getting a little bit in our feels. We're about to talk about, you know, you're going to know a little bit about our lives.
Oh, yeah.
We're about to talk about
Diaspora Blues.
No.
What is a diaspora?
Diaspora is just not within your home country.
Yeah? Is it English? Is that an English word?
It's probably got like Latin.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. We can't Google now because if we leave you guys, if we pause, it'll be like too long. But basically, a diaspora is just, you know, the general population of a country that doesn't live within the country.
Okay, got it.
Feel free to correct us. That's just what I work with.
I mean, yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. I mean, so, yeah, we're both diaspora kids.
Yeah.
I was born in Botswana, lived there for a few years, then moved to Zimbabwe, but I was there for like 4 or 5 years. Then spent the rest of my life in South Africa, and then ended up where I am now, in Cyprus.
Nice.
So, yeah, spent very little time in Zimbabwe. Didn't visit a lot for a lot of reasons. Yeah, and now here I am in another land. Nida, you want to explain a little bit of your...
Okay, I was born in Zimbabwe, but when I turned one, that's when we relocated to Botswana.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up there. It's been 21 years. And just last year, like 2017, before I came to Cyprus, we moved to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're currently living. And yeah, I continued my journey, and I'm in North Cyprus as well. So yeah, I mean, been on the move.
Yeah,
been on the move.
So yeah. So one thing that we just wanted to... Oh my gosh.
Oh wait, but I like, let me just mention that I would go to Zimbabwe like for visits and for family and, yeah, you know, Christmas, all the normal things, the normal standard thing. But yeah, I just did not grow up there, but I would frequent.
At least, okay, so you'd visit.
Yeah.
When we left Zimbabwe in like 2004,
mm-hmm.
end of 2004, was the next time I visited Zim was 2005 for a wedding.
Okay.
Then after that, I didn't go back until 2015.
Really? Dude, yeah. 10 whole years.
So like 2012.
Okay, but still, I mean,
that was like 7 years.
Yeah, still a long
time. Then after 2012, 2015.
Mad. Okay.
Then 2015, I think I went. Yeah, I went 2016 to get my license, and then yeah, since then I haven't been back.
I haven't been to Zim since 2016.
Like,
visiting. That was my last
visit. It's like 4 years.
Yeah. Just about. Yeah, how do you feel about not growing up in Zim? Like, is there a part of you that wishes you had? Like, what is it that you faced?
I left Zim at like a pretty important part of my life. So I was like, what, 12? 11, going on 12, I was in grade 6. And by then, you know, I'd made friends, I'd established everything, and, you know, I'd been part of, like, my school for a very long time. I was very involved in school and stuff, teams and stuff, yeah, and so.
Oh, okay.
And then, yeah, then that just got uprooted, and I had to start all over again. Right. In a country, didn't help the school I went to was very cliquey. So by the time I had met there, like, they were in their second last year of primary school. I had to repeat grade six because of the age difference and my time of moving and stuff like that. Okay. So I had to start all over again. Mm-hmm. And not gonna lie, the kids weren't very friendly at first. So it was already hard trying to be like that new kid. Yeah. And South African culture was a lot different to them. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it would be, but they're just things that I was exposed to that were so different.
Yeah.
First of all, like, just the history. I mean, I didn't know about apartheid until, like, we did a comprehension and the question was, what was the name of this phase? I didn't know what it was. Yeah. I had to ask, like, what is this? And they said apartheid. Then I realized, then I finally learned, like, eventually in history class and stuff, I learned what this stuff was and the core, the history of the country I was in. Yeah. And just generally, like, how everyone was. And was it enough that my school was predominantly white?
Oh, okay.
Like, the school I went to in Zimbabwe was also predominantly white, but the number of black kids who were there were significantly more. And a lot of them, I was friends with them and stuff like that. So now moving here, there were, like, two other black girls in my grade. Yeah, two. One, two, three. Yeah, it was including me. So, it was three girls. And then, like, a handful of black guys. And it's just, like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's hard to just...
On top of that, just, you know, people would make references. I remember in Zim, like, in primary school in Zim, we used to call an eraser a rubber.
Yeah.
I now asked for a rubber in school, and kids laughed at me. They're like, oh my gosh, why would you say that? And I was just like, what? Small things like that, like, it affected me. Like, I struggled with the move a lot more than my brother did. My brother was, like, 8 when we moved.
Right.
So he had time.
Yeah.
He just jumped in. He loved it. He had friends and everything like that.
Yeah.
So it was a challenge for me. So already that really set a bad tone. On top of that, like, I experienced a couple of very heavy losses in that year that I moved. I lost one of my closest cousins. She actually lived with us before we left, and then since we moved and stuff, so she died, like, a couple of months into my stay. So that already, like, set the tone. And I was 12, and you know, 12 is, like, really, like, a really, like, crucial year in growing
shaky age.
So it was, like, with this move. And then, like, my parents weren't around as much because dad was still in Zim because he was working.
Right.
Mom was trying to, like, also adjust because it was hella different for her as well. Now I was playing deputy parent because one mom was at work. Dad, mom, like, worked, like, 2 hours away from where we stayed.
Yeah.
Because Joburg was, like, infinitely bigger than Harare.
Right.
And a lot busier and stuff like that. So I was playing deputy parent to my sibling. I was trying to balance my own life. Mm-hmm. I was trying to understand what was going on. So yeah, it was very hard. Mm-hmm. It was really hard. And not having the chance to go back, not getting to see my friends, having to restart all over again.
Yeah.
I think it just set a really bad tone for me. I think I only adjusted to South Africa, like, in my fourth year.
Yeah.
So grade 9, because they did their, they don't have forms, their high school is grade 8, grade 9, ninth grade.
Yeah,
that's when I guess I started adjusting. But before that, it was touch and go. And the dynamics of everything, it was a lot more than I anticipated. So not growing up back home, it sucked. It was hard. And also, I guess that affected, like, you know, I mentioned it in episode 1 where I said, Shona is not my main language. Like, that's, you know, I'm Shona from in Zimbabwe. That's the tribe that I'm from or whatever. I can't speak Shona that well. So at the time, like, my parents weren't around. And when they're around, I guess, I don't know, for them, I guess they just didn't have time or they didn't feel the need or whatever to speak to me and my brother in Shona. So it just happened that we now started speaking English. And
even
they
at
didn't
home?
Yeah, even at home.
Right,
like,
okay.
My parents, they even speak English to each other.
Right, okay.
So I don't know, for their own reasons, I guess. So they speak Shona. Like, they speak Shona very well. Like,
yeah.
Like, but so yeah, no. So yeah, but then by the time now I started trying to speak Shona, any, like, Zimbabwean kids I would be around would just laugh at me.
Right, yeah.
Or, like, make fun of me. And I'm a very sensitive kid, so I just learned not to talk.
To speak, in Shona. Like, it just makes you so insecure, man.
Yeah,
like,
no, it makes me hella insecure, I'm not gonna
God.
Lie. Even now, like, I can speak, I understand it.
Yeah.
I understand, which is why it's very fascinating when I, like, around, like, Zimbabweans, and then they think, this one,
salad. Oh my God.
Then they'll talk about me.
Phrase, that term.
Musalad. Like, I hate it so much.
I think it was thrown at the back of my head.
Dude, basically, for those of you who are not from Zimbabwe, Musalad is like a way of calling some. It's like calling someone a snob.
Yeah.
Or like
a coconut.
Yeah, a coconut.
You, yeah, if you know what coconuts are, like black on the outside, like white on the inside. Yeah.
Kind of thing. So you're not really Shona. You're like fake Shona. You can put it that way.
Yeah.
Or a fake whatever. You're not properly Zimbabwean or whatever like that.
Exactly.
So yeah, now. So on top of that, couple of that, I moved to South Africa and I developed a hybrid accent.
Yeah.
I don't know what my accent is.
It just
happened.
Yeah.
So yeah, on top of that, like, it's affected a lot of my choices.
Mm-hmm.
I even realized with like some of the friends that I made, it took me, like, when I moved here, I did have friends from Zimbabwe, but it took some time to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
It took some time to adjust. I remember there are times I'd be called a snob or... For some reason, people thought I thought I was better than them. But I was just like, but the thing is, none of this would ever be said. Like, I never said this.
Yeah.
I never, like, if I greet anyone, I'm just like, hi, how are you doing? You good? And then suddenly, I get office vibes. I'm just like,
wow.
Now, but you see, the problem is people pleasing me went into, I'm going to show you that I'm nice.
Mm-hmm.
If it were me now, I'd be like, bye. Because why are you judging someone based off of an accent?
Yeah, true.
It's so weird. Like, I had
the fact that you speak English.
Exactly.
Why is it such
a... I had a conversation with my friend Yummy about this where we were talking about, they're like, bruh, when like private school kids in Zimbabwe try like come at like kids who went to like private schools or something like that in South Africa, I'm like, have you seen the difference in the fees?
Do you know how expensive it is to go to school in Zimbabwe?
I'm not the snob here, yo. You gotta like, play in US, my USC
US
dollars.
Dollars, man. Like, foreign currency.
So we're just there like, no, guys, no, it's not that. It's not that. But basically, yeah, it's affected how I interact with Zimbabweans. I don't stay away from Zimbabweans when they're there. I try to interact with people, but I'm like, if I feel like I'm being judged, and if I feel like, and you know, it may sound like very prissy, frou-frou, like I was like, I feel like I'm being judged. I'm like, this thing actually happened.
Nah, it's a real thing.
Whether you guys like it or not.
It's a real thing, and it's best to avoid it if you can't handle it. If you're not the fighting type or the...
I'm not the fighting type.
Exactly.
But I'm just like, I'll always like, if I'm like, if I find people like, or closest, some of my closest friends are. So I sound like a white person. Some of my closest friends are black. No.
Yeah, I'm friends with...
I'm friends with Zimbabweans. Yeah. Some of my closest friends are Zimbabweans. I know, you know, like Tino, Tandai, Rutendo, Tadiwa.
Oh my god, it's Tadiwa.
No, but like, genuinely, like, it's just that thing where I'm like, ugh. If I know I'm going to be questioned about my lifestyle choices and stuff like that, not lifestyle choices, it's not even a lifestyle. If I'm questioned about my identity or my ability to speak a language,
which you
have
no control of, to be very frank,
then I'm just gonna like stay away because I'm just like,
the effort.
Like,
the effort.
Really?
It's too much, man.
Nah.
There's no need.
So for me, that's like what my upbringing.
Yeah.
Has kind of like led me to, it's even affected, I'm not gonna lie, to a certain extent it's kind of affected my dating choices.
Okay.
In the sense that I'm kind of averse to dating, not averse, because I've dated like Zimbabwean guys.
Watch out for the pot, babe.
Huh?
Watch out for the pot.
Which pot?
This pot. I'm not even gonna call it a table.
This pot that I'm shaking.
No, it's shaking, it's boiling over.
Boiling over. But careful. It's a life thing, though. Like,
careful.
Like, it's a life thing, though. I'm serious. You can come. I'm like, guys can come at me. It's fine. Like, if you want to come at me,
whatever.
It's fine.
Like,
say whatever. But the thing is,
deck.
I've dated Zimbabwean guys before.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
On a, like, obviously, like, my first boyfriend was Zimbabwean.
Okay.
So, okay, but then with him, it wasn't like as hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was also a bit of a salad, so it wasn't the pressure. The pressure came like when I came to varsity.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it would be a thing of like, it would be like a running joke with some guys. Or maybe I just dated jerks. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't date. No, actually, some guys were.
Dude, if you dated jerks, you dated jerks. You didn't say all the guys I dated were jerks. You said you dated
some
jerks.
Some of them were nice, though.
So,
and they just accepted me for me.
Lace it up and get to walking.
Some guys were nice, and that was fine. But there was always this bearing thing of, I'd always be made to feel like I'm not Zimbabwean enough.
Oh, yeah.
Where I'd be like, do you even know how to cook salsa? And I'm like... And you know, the thing is, I can cook salsa. I can cook salsa well, but the fact that you said that, no,
I'm not,
can't.
I can't cook.
First of all,
man,
why am I cooking for you?
Like...
We'll That's
have
another
we'll
conversation
have we'll
for
have
another because
we'll,
I have very interesting relationship politics. Let's just put it out. I just slammed a piece of paper on the table. I can already feel some people out there like, what do you mean? Just block it off. That's not what we're talking about.
Okay, we're here.
You know, we might have to do a two-part series with this because I'm already realizing we're halfway through the episode.
And I haven't spoken
about haven't even brought yours to the table yet.
You know what? We'll see. Yeah,
maybe. You never know. But yeah, like, generally, like, I've dated, like, people from like different countries or different backgrounds and stuff like
she
that.
She copped
that Ford. Huh? She copped that Ford. She copped that Ford. Yeah, but I have like both in South Africa and yeah, I've dated South African guys. I've dated like.
Why did you stop? Child of God. Why did you stop?
I don't know why I stopped. Huh?
This is your shot that came out. No, babe. No, come on. We have a show, and
yeah,
it must go on.
I've almost had things with a couple white guys too. You know, this was in South Africa though.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah, I've dated Nigerian guys too.
Yes.
But what am I saying?
Yeah.
Dated a couple of Nigerian guys.
Yeah, man.
Actually, one. No, two.
Yeah, okay.
You know what?
The show must go on.
The show.
Point is, you've dated. You've been international.
Yeah. And then, no, but I've had like, you know, an interaction with a guy from like Ghana and, you know, a couple of other countries.
Like
the angel of. Not exactly angel of, but that was just like, I don't know, talking stage. I don't know if you count that as dating, because I'd be like, for me, it's like talking stage.
I think
that's what I mean by interaction, where I'm just like, I don't count it as like dating. Like, right, even like the fact that I'm pulling up relationships from high school, I'm like, sorry, if I dated you before the age of 21, then you were a friend. You're a friend. Even 25. Even 25. Anything before 25.
It wasn't the real game, it was just the demo.
But yeah, but like just generally, like in my interactions with like different guys and stuff like that, it's like I felt more comfortable with guys who I've not grown up, who I don't come from the same country with, because I don't feel that pressure
of like
to show my Zimbabweanness.
Yeah, living up to the expectations of what a Zim girl should be like and everything that, you know, some things you can't relate to certain things.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like,
there's some things I just can't, because I'm like, sometimes if someone speaks Shona to me way too fast, I won't understand. I won't hear you. I'll just be like, yo. Sometimes I get too lazy. Like, I'll be like, I don't feel like translating right now. So it's like, And it sounds, you know, it may sound a type of way to some people, but I'm like, that's my reality.
It's not hate.
It's not hate. I'm like, I wish I did grow up in that culture. I wish I did have like that in at home. And I do search. I do the research. I know my background. I know my totem. I know everything about me.
Exactly.
Like, I embrace my totem. Like, even though, you know, some people, especially in the Christian faith, they're like, no, we don't do totems. I'm just like, you know what, personally,
that's culture.
I identified and I feel the connection. Yeah. If someone calls me Soko, I'm
like, hey.
So, you know, I like embrace, like, I look at where my roots are from, like, who's my family, what was going on where do I come from, I immerse myself in that. I'm not averse to my culture. I'm not averse to me. I don't sit there and say I'm not Zimbabwean. I'm like, I'm Zimbabwean, and I wear it with my chest. Someone asked me where I'm from, I'm from Zimbabwe. I live in Zimbabwe. I don't live in Zimbabwe, but you know, that type of thing. But before we fill this episode with my voice only, how about you tell us about your upbringing and how it has affected your friendships and your dating life?
Wow.
Because I'm not the only one who's going to hang us off to try
mad. Okay, well, like I said, born in Zimbabwe, but as soon as I turned a year old, your girl was taken from the streets of Bindura and we moved into Orapa.
Bindura.
We were in Bindura,
I failed a driver's test in Bindura.
That's wild.
Twice. I failed my driver's test like 4 times.
Oh my gosh.
What is the fifth time?
But you still have a license. You have a license now, so you did it. The point is you did it. Doesn't matter how many times you did it, but you did it. So from Bindura, moved to Botswana, a small town called Orapa, where I grew up for how long? I was in school for let me tell you about my life in Botswana. We moved from different towns. We moved to different towns like a lot, because my dad worked in Orapa and my mom worked in another town called Silibepikwe, and she also worked in Siroe, and then she worked in in Ramotswa. Yeah. And yeah, three different places. So I don't really, I was too young to remember, you know, where my mom was at the time, but it was more stable at my dad's place in Orapa. Yeah, I had the place to come out. So yeah, in Orapa, I lived there with my dad and my aunt as well, with my sister, obviously, older sister. And I grew up there. School was okay. It was just the normal school thing. Like, you know, when kids go to school for the first time, it's hard adjusting because you just kind of want to be at home all the time and you hate being in school and you just hate academics and, you know, the teachers are mean and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but it was the normal thing for me because I was young, you know, like you were explaining with your brother Simba, like he just got into it and he adjusted quite well. And the same thing with me. I didn't need to learn Setswana because in the schools that I went to, it wasn't compulsory. They were English medium schools. Had they been Setswana medium schools, then I would have had to learn Setswana. Like, it would have been compulsory for everyone, but it wasn't compulsory for me because I was an expatriate. Mm-hmm. That's the word, right?
Were you an expat? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I was
an immigrant.
Well, yeah, exactly. Whatever. An immigrant. Yeah.
It's the same thing.
I mean, same thing. Really.
They just like to use that word expat for a certain race.
Can
of
they
people.
Even spell it? Anyway, why am I so rude? Oh my gosh.
They.
They is a pronoun.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Anyway. Yeah, get with the program. It's 2020, okay?
Sorry, sis.
Yeah.
Sorry, sis.
Did you just... So... So anyway. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Did you almost choke?
I almost
on
choked
water?
On water, guys. Yeah, continue. Okay, we're totally doing a part two.
So, school wise was fine for me. Orapa, yeah, I was there from grade two. Because I did go back to Zimbabwe
at some
point. You're
giving us the whole detail.
Yeah, man. Like, I mean, because it's like, it's a lot that happened. I went to Zim for like a term and then I came back and then I finished my grade two up till grade four in Orapa, then moved to Pikwe. I'll just call it Pikwe. And then from then I moved to Gabs. Khaburoni is the capital city of Bods. And then that was a jump. Like, just, I had friends from everywhere. We had Zimbabwean friends as well because a lot of families moved from Zimbabwe to Botswana. And so the community was there and we had a chance to just interact and, you know, get to know each other and kind of form family bonds. I speak to some people to this day. Not a lot, but, you know, the point is I still had that. I still had the Zimbabwean community around me at some point. And it was only when it came to growing up, like becoming older, like as a kid you're shielded from these things, but once you step out and you get older, you kind of get exposed to the fact that you are a foreigner.
Yeah,
you know, at the base of it, you are a foreigner.
Girl. Yeah.
And you know, it's like, I mean, they're Botswana are very peaceful people. I love them for that. It's just subtle. There's subtle hints. There, yeah, very subtle hints of like xenophobia sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'd feel it. And you know, I'd feel that, and I had to. I mean, not by force, but I just ended up learning Setswana. Like, I understand Setswana. I can understand it. My sentences are not very good, but they are understood if I speak slowly enough or I say simple things. I can say simple things and, you know, we can carry out a conversation here and there, but it only goes so far. Okay, what was it like growing up in Botswana? It was great, to be honest. Botswana is like my home. I can honestly say Botswana is my home, despite the fact that I am a foreigner, and I know I've never forgotten that. And Zimbabwe's always been like, that's my home country, that's the motherland for me. But Botswana was a second home, and even my mom felt that. Like, both my parents felt that. And yeah, it was a great place to just exist and grow into the person that I am
so
today.
It actually felt like home.
Yeah, it felt like home. It really felt like home, because even though there were moments of like xenophobia and stuff, intense, just slight bouts of tension, still we were welcomed. And the friends that I made friends with, Botswana kids, and they took me in, man, squad from home. Like, yeah, to this day I'm so close to my friends from Botswana, and they've only made me feel like part of their family, if anything. And yeah,
that's really cool.
It is really cool. I mean, for some people it's different, the experiences are different. Like, you, your experiences and my experiences are different.
Oh, like, no, definitely.
Different. Yeah. And it's only when I mean, in terms of like, when you're a foreigner, you need to have like papers and stuff. And because mm-hmm. I'm over 18, I don't have like permanent residency or residency.
Neither do I.
Exactly. Yeah. So if my days run out, like my residency days run out, I'm gonna have to go back to Zim for some time and then go back. Hold and on. Exactly. Unless I can find, you know, a permanent living arrangement, mm-hmm. which is a bit stressful. That's the thing that kind of affects me as a kid living in the diaspora. Did I say it correctly?
Yeah.
Like, because going back to Zimbabwe is going to be difficult should I ever have to go back. I mean, I don't have friends from there. I mean, the friends that I've made are the friends that are, that I made here in Cyprus. Mm-hmm. The people that have graduated and have left, like, you know, Chiedza, Lubelihle. I said a full name.
Squad!
Squad! You know? Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Amanda.
I mean, she's my sister. Why would I call her my? Okay. I mean, but she's my homie though. That's my
you
nigga.
You guys are electric.
I love you, man. But point is, okay, that.
Is there anyone else in the squad? Nope.
No. Whoever's in the squad that we forgot, bruh, we love you.
Ah no, that's NASA.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's there.
That is NASA.
Hope
but,
so.
Point is.
Don't fight us.
My experiences were not so bad. I think I was blind to a lot of things or shielded from a lot of things. The country that I grew up in as well is relatively peaceful. Botswana is just a peaceful place, really. It's a peaceful place.
Yeah.
They didn't even get colonized. That's the thing. They became a protectorate. So they didn't experience the bloodshed and stuff of other, like, they didn't experience
they didn't?
That. No, not as, not to the
okay, in
the
comparison
same.
To what other countries
yeah,
didn't
they didn't
like,
even
they
have,
didn't have a war,
war
to get
exactly.
independence.
They didn't need to do that. And that's amazing. That's a blessing. Even for them, they feel they acknowledge that. And they're like, yeah, we're really blessed because it's just a peaceful
yeah,
place.
I mean, it's like nice not to
it's
have
chill vibes.
Well, as blessed as you know, blessed as one can be when people have come to like you know, show you like the rule of like how your country should go.
Yeah.
But I guess yeah, like you said, in comparison to like what other countries went through, I mean, Zimbabwe was like. Colonized in totality.
Yeah.
Look at what South Africa went through.
Exactly, that was terrible.
Namibia, mm-hmm. like all the other, like every
Angola.
African country, like some countries are, like a lot of countries are still trying to recover. A lot of countries are actually still trying to recover
yeah.
from what we went through. Because I mean, a lot of countries only recently, like if you look at the scale of like time recently,
yeah,
like look
young.
At Zimbabwe, independence was 1980.
No, all independence in Africa is very young.
Very young.
Very young.
So it's not like, you know, we just forget it. There are people who are alive.
Mm.
Our parents were alive during, like, you know,
The war. Yeah.
When we were still trying to get things sorted out and stuff like that. They carry that trauma. They carry that reality.
It's very true.
And they still have to, like, function. Like, a lot of our parents are carrying PTSD.
I mean, for the fact that they actually have to leave their country. I don't think it's easy growing up in a place. And then, all of a sudden, you're grown. You've got your kids. You've got your family. You've got your career, and then your country just starts falling apart, and you don't know when next or how you're gonna start feeding your kids.
Yeah.
If the economy is going to like the pigs, basically, is just going to nothing. They had to make this tough decision of leaving their country to go
and adjust.
And it's tough enough. It's tough enough
like,
being
I know,
the new adult on the block.
Of course. I mean, my parents had to like restart their lives at 40.
Yeah.
When they should have been preparing to like
retire. Yeah.
And, you know, because they'd both established themselves in their in their respective areas of business.
Yeah.
They were getting ready to move on to next plans. Then Zimbabwe happened.
I mean, I also think diaspora is like, it was different for us as compared to for them.
No, experience was different. We were young, so we got to at least grow up in the system.
Yeah.
But our parents, and this is for parents like every parent who had to leave.
They had to
move. Like some parents had to take different routes before they got to where they are now. And I know usually like people, like there are some people in like Zimbabwe who use that as like a joke where they're like, yeah, you're struggling in the diaspora having to clean toilets and stuff.
Are
I'm
happy
like,
about going
those
to
paid
become
fees.
Like housemaids and stuff and working in restaurants. People
exactly.
have to do that.
It's
to
not
send
fun
money home.
When you were a manager in your former company and
dude,
now you're being
you had
called by your first name and your degree means nothing.
As someone is 12 years old, why are you cutting the family's garden or
dude,
to, you know,
and it's not like people
so.
Choose to do those things, but like you have to make it work. Not everyone and I think that's something like that causes a lot of tension is between, especially like I know in Zimbabwe, between those who left and those who stayed.
Yeah.
There's that tension of you sold out type of why didn't you stay and go through the struggle with us? Because it's not like, you know, I need to sneeze. Sorry. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you. Ugh. It's not like leaving was such an option for people. Like, leaving was the best resort. Like, I know leaving was like not a last resort, but it was like an ultimate thing. My parents were about, my mom was about to like turn down the offer that she got to come to South Africa, but then she was like, you know what, at the last minute they're like, you know what, let's do this for the kids.
Yeah.
And it wasn't easy. They went through a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it's really a miracle that they were able to like stabilize, like were able to have some form of a normal life.
Honestly,
I remember like just going through some things and thinking that it was normal, not realizing that, man, my parents were really going through it.
Exactly.
And you know, even that thing that you talk about, this othering, I was exposed to that a lot in South Africa, because South Africa is a very racially aware country. It can't not be. I mean, its history is steeped in racism, like apartheid, segregation.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was still seeing those effects today, in corporate South Africa, in regular South Africa.
Yeah.
And now it's not just racism, it's xenophobia as well.
Yeah.
Where I remember being castigated. I've been castigated by people, like local South Africans, for not being able to speak. At the time, I wasn't able to speak like Zulu or Tswana or anything. I can get by with Zulu now,
mm-hmm.
but back then, and that was out of survival. It wasn't out of, I want to learn the language. It was out of, man, I don't know. You never know.
The wrong people.
Exactly. And there are times I've been threatened. I've been sworn at. I've been insulted for not being able to speak the language.
You're just a kid.
Bro, I was just a kid. Yeah. My first experience, I was 12 years old, and this lady literally lectured me and spat at me because of it. And I was just
mad.
And I didn't understand. I didn't know how to process this.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I was just like, whoa,
you just felt ashamed. Like,
dude. And then on top of that, now you're getting side eyes from some people who happen to be white and look at you and like, you know.
Dude, like, what is that though? Racism in South Africa is on another level.
Even just from kids. Like, I won't forget this one girl who tried bullying me in high school,
mm-hmm.
in primary school, grade 7. She said some really derogatory things to me. And I was just like, what?
Who even
Day I snitched. I was just like, I'm not fighting you. I just went and told my teacher, and she cried, and I didn't care. To this day, I still remember it. She's probably forgotten, but I remembered. There's those things like that, like I said, molded the person who I am today, where I'm very, very racially sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you now come to a place like Cyprus, where you realize that a lot of people come from predominantly like black communities, or black, like, not where racism is like not the top thing, top
not
agenda
top worry, yeah.
in the country. There, like, there are other things that, you know, maybe corruption. Maybe tribalism or something, corruption.
Oh, yeah.
So when I now talk about like the intricacies of racism, like the sub, like the subliminal kind of things, not the blatant racism, they're like, bro, you're just overthinking things. I'm like, no,
it's insidious.
I'm not
insidious. Like,
So it's like now coming across those different, like those different areas, and it's like, it's interesting how this has like molded us,
mm-hmm.
and shaped us,
made us so aware of the world outside,
of the world that we're in.
For sure.
So yeah, that othering thing, and I think that's something that makes me feel like I miss about Zimbabwe, is like just having a place that I call home,
mm-hmm.
in the sense of just having a place where I'm not a foreigner,
mm.
where I walk in and I'm not, the only thing I may have to carry around is my ID.
Yeah.
But I don't have to panic if I don't have my passport on me. I don't have to panic if I don't have my ID on me.
Right.
I don't have to worry about what happens. Okay, yes, you do worry about what happens when you run in with the law, because
you ain't
trying to catch that smoke.
No.
But just being able to even just understand the main language, or like, you know, get by.
Ask,
like, someone. No, Zimge has its issues, don't get me wrong. Yee.
But there's like a certain level of togetherness that's there. Like,
yeah.
You know, in the streets, you can call a guy, a random guy, Mkoma, like meaning brother.
Or something, and they'll respond. And
or
that's,
my Nini as a sister, you know, just to ask something.
That's something that I miss.
Yeah.
And even just being able to get together from a family. And I think that's something that many kids in Zimbabwe, like, deal with, is like, our families are everywhere.
Yeah.
And we don't get to,
see
each other.
That's so true.
So there's a lot of separation. There's a lot of, like, you know, some people haven't seen their relatives in years.
Yeah.
I know many of us have lost our relatives and we haven't been able to go to those funerals.
Yeah.
And people have spoken about that. They miss funerals, they miss weddings, they miss things, because, you know, even as students, like, we're pressed as, you need to work, you need to get your money, because, you know, home is not an option.
Yeah, the pressure, bro.
And while not everyone may have the opportunity to, like, you know, go back home and make a plan, because that's ideally what we all wish, like, some
and
of us wish we could do.
Commendable for the people that did go
of
back
course
home,
like, if you go
amazing.
Home and Zim works out for you, and you're, you know, because I've seen people like tweet about with, like, Zim is actually not that bad. I'm just like, yeah,
for
you,
you.
But you do realize that, like, bro, even in my working, I've had to send money home to family,
mm-hmm.
and That was even before, like, I could, like, and it wasn't even, like, by force, but it was, like, I need to help.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was, like, when you're now
you
asked.
Get to that age.
When you're being asked by a relative, like, you know, a relative who should be sending you money.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, this is the reality of the situation.
Dude, it's just tough.
It's just tough. It's, like, it just heightens your senses. Like, I think that's just present day, like, what it is to, like, live outside of home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just realizing, like, we're out of time.
Oh, man, okay.
We're out of time.
Can do like a part two, you think?
No, definitely. I think we should definitely do a part two.
Yeah. Alright.
So I think that's what we're gonna cover for now. And I think we're pushing this to next week.
Yeah.
We're pushing this. We're gonna do another two. We'll just follow up.
Yeah.
So we're gonna put this conversation on hold here.
That's very true. If you guys wanna hear more about this, give us feedback actually.
Mm-hmm.
You think maybe we could, I don't know. I feel if you guys want to hear a part two on this, if you're really interested and you have something to say about this diaspora stuff, because I know it's not just Chipo and I that have
had experiences.
Exactly. If you have experiences, let us know.
Yeah.
Because I'm seeing the timer.
We're going to This is the first time this is happening.
So
we didn't realize this would be such a loaded topic.
Dude, yeah.
So yeah, we're going to push our schedule by a bit to incorporate this, because we feel like it's an important topic, because, you know, a lot of people that we relate with, our friends, a lot of people who listen, mm-hmm. are also in the diaspora. They're dealing with their own things. And
they're living this reality.
Anyway, they're living this reality. So, like we said, share your stories if you want to.
Yeah.
Let us know. We probably might not be able to put them up because we're kind of recording this back to back. But we'll definitely share about this on Instagram, create conversation on that. So you let us know. As usual, Instagram handles, I am at @chipochashe_.
Yep.
Nita is at the
Soul Probe.
The Soul Probe. There's an underscore somewhere there, but if you look for her, you'll find it.
The Soul Probe. Or so even at Nita.
Thanks for being here with the journey along this journey, guys. You guys are awesome. Stay safe. Be good. Mm-hmm. Don't be stupid.
Yeah.
And that's Chipo and Nita.
Signing out.
Signing out. Hey.